Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Any announcements?
Mrs. Mac Williams is my grandmother.
Oh,
and I have the name and the weight and all that on my hand, but I
marked it.
I thought you marked it.
Grandma probably knows it by heart.
I thought you
glad you don't look like David.
No.
Good. Uh-oh. Okay. Anyone else? Any other announcements? Okay.
Just the young people had a great week. They worked and starved and played and worked some more and starved and played. And all the proceeds go to Haiti and to some organization. Okay. Prayer concern, I'll go ahead and throw it out, is Chile, largest earthquake ever. So,
there's several announcements also in the bulletin. If you'll look those over, any visitors this morning?
Williams with us.
Williams Scales.
He's going to play the guitar while Michael plays the banjo the first time in a worship service, I think.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. Any more deletions or additions to the prayer list?
Steve, I have an addition. I might have mentioned her before. My niece Kelly Foster should have had her baby this weekend. There are complications of the pregnancy. She wasn't supposed to go full term, and the baby's like 10 pounds. Due to a miscommunication between the one office and another, she wasn't
Windrow evidently was out doing some chopping, whatever, yesterday, and got into something, and he is in sad shape, all swelled up, and Jerry won't be here today. So. Okay. We would bow our head and prepare ourselves for worship.
Also, Miss May Puckett, I didn't find her name on the list, but she's still very weak.
Thank you. bulletin, our call to worship is responsive. We're on a journey of faith. Jesus is our leader and guide. As the daylight hours grow longer, our journey takes on an urgency. Do not fear, God goes before us into Jerusalem, into the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together number 81.
You would stand, please.
Please stand. We're singing about Jesus and what a wonderful Savior He is.
Oh,
time of the service when we say our statement of faith. It's up on the screen or in your hymnal, page 716. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, even now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Open your hymnals, open your bulletins, please, and confessing our sins. Our call to confession. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. Our prayer confession in unison is, there's a certain winter in our spirit today, O Lord. We feel that the journey on which we have embarked will demand too much of us. There are too many other things in our lives which claim our spirits, our energy, our hope and fears. It's easy to be like Jerusalem, turning our backs on those whom you've sent. The word shout is the solution to us and deserves us when we are in need. Forgive us of many times in which we have strayed from you. You strayed from your pathway of life. When we have chosen not to hear the cries of those in need. When we have testified the gifts and skills. You have given us in order to avoid serving others. Heal us, O Lord. Place in the back of your path to Jerusalem to live, for we are asked this in Jesus' name. Amen. Words of assurance. When God calls your name, God calls you to journey of faith. Do not be afraid to look inside to see those things which are holding you back from being who God created you to be. Place your trust in God, who is always with you, loving you into wholeness. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
If you'll open your hymnals to page 521, please.
Let's sing verse 1 and 3.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.
prefatory sentence this morning is, hear these words of wisdom. The human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. Think about the truth as you return to God your gifts. If the ushers would come forward.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. You are all sons of God through the faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ, Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are
Abraham's
seed, sorry. and heirs according to the promise. Ephesians 2, verses 17 through 22. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we have both have access to Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 6. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in either generations as it has been now revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel of the Gentiles and their heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The church. What do you think about the church? Do you want to know more about the church? Do you think you know enough? Are you happy with the church? Are you unhappy with the church? What about your part in the church? So many questions we can ask and so many answers concerning the church. The local church is just a part of the church. But then there is the church worldwide. One. We're all in this project together, if project is a good word. We're all called to serve God through the church. Scripture lessons speak just a taste of what the Bible says about the church. I think I went and printed out this time, and every time the church was mentioned, the word church was mentioned in the New Testament. I think one version got it up that we printed, 120-something references to the church, or that many times that the name or the word church was used. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. He is also writing to the church at Ephesus. The Galatian Christians and the Ephesian Christians in these two particular references. Well, three passages, but two different letters they were taken from. One thing we need to understand to start with is included in the title. It's God's church. It's not Uncle Joe's church or Grandma's church or Preacher Larry's church. It's God's church. And never forget that. Christ established the church. But the church really goes back to Abraham when God called him to be of service to him. But even back to the fourth chapter of Genesis when people began to call upon the name of the Lord. But maybe even the first chapter of Genesis, when God came and fellowshiped with Adam and Eve in the garden. What can we say about the church? Oh, there's a lot that we can say, but we cannot say it in two sermons, last Sunday and this Sunday. Last week we talked about the church being the body of Christ, among other things. This week, I want to continue to talk about the church and who make up the church and our responsibility as members of the church, or kind of touch on them. And that's as I say, about all we can do in the time allotted to our gathering together today. I wonder, and I ask, but I plan to do it unless you say no, no, no. I've got a story from a grandson, our oldest grandson, concerning the church. And Linda, you'll have stories about 2 years or 3 years, so we'll listen to yours too. Braxton was three about the time they moved to Memphis, Susan and Jamie and Thatcher and Braxton. He was about three. And after they had been there a while, Susan came and telling us how Braxton identified the various churches. And he called our church, this church, Jenkins Church, where he had been since before he was born, God's house. This is his understanding as being God's house. Driving down the road, we see the Nolensville First United Methodist Church. It being a white building, he called that white God's house. The white God's house. Not the white God, but the white house of God. Or God's house that is white. And then when they moved to Memphis, they attended a church that had brown brick on it. And incidentally, that's the one they ended up associating with, though they're still members here. They're participating there. The Germantown Church. And he called it the Brown God's House. And then one Sunday, we have a friend out in Olive Branch, Mississippi, that's the pastor of the church, and they had invited Susan and Jamie and the boys out, and that had red brick on it, pretty red. I mean, rather red. And it is pretty, but rather red too. Bright red brick. And he called that Red God's House, not God being red, but the house of God as being red. So God's house, white God's house, brown God's house, red God's house. And at least he didn't put an adjective on Jenkins Church House or house of worship. He just called it God's house. And I was real, real proud of that. Of course, we know that the church building is not really the church. The building is the place from which the people who have met to worship go out from to live for Jesus in the world. Braxton was only three when he figured all this out about the different colors of God's house. But we have passed the three, and this is the place where we meet, the place where we worship God, and the place from which we go out into the world to minister. The church goes out. The church is the people. And I guess I thought when I started thinking of a couple of sermons on the church a few weeks ago, I thought of this, what? Here's the church and here's the steeple. Come right in and see the people. The people, though, are the church. But as you read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talks about the people being built into a temple. Another place in the Bible we hear of the individual people in the church being stones. And I might be a stone way down close to the bottom, and somebody else might be a stone way up close to the top of the building that we become. We might be the back door from which someone comes into the church through, and we might be the front door. Or we are living stones. But if you, in Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And Ephesians 2:22, in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. We say the Spirit of God lives in each of us, but especially when we are joined together, and we're joined together by the Spirit, we are the dwelling place of God when we come together. And not only our group here, but the 10-15 people, they are too. They're joined together with us. But not only the people that meet on this corner, Knowlesville Road and York Road, 2501 Knowlesville Road, but the people down at the Methodist Church, and the people down at the Christ Church, and the people down at Giles Creek Church. We are connected together. I think we talked about last week, though, some don't want to be connected with us. We'll just draw the circle bigger. They drew the circle and left us out. We'll draw it bigger and take them in. They may kick and scream. Hopefully, we can realize that we're God's people together. The church, a covenant community. Covenant is an agreement, but it's a great deal more than a contract. We sign contracts all the time. Sign a contract when we buy a house. We sign a contract, or at least acknowledge a contract, when we buy insurance for the house or a car. We sign a contract when we buy the car. We sign contracts often. But if I enter into a contract with you, I get some input, and you get some input, and we sign a contract together. A covenant. God says, this is the way it needs to be. And we get to say, okay, we'll be a part of that. Or we get to say, uh-uh, we don't want to. And I think of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he didn't want to enter into covenant with Jesus Christ. And you remember, Jesus did not say, oh, we can adjust this to your liking. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he would not agree to what Jesus had proposed to him. He said, this is the way a relationship that leads to eternal life is. But in the contract, we get input too. But in the covenant, we join with God. Because God is the authority, is He not? If He made us, then if He redeemed us, He is the authority. And then Jesus said that all authority had been passed on to Him or given to Him. All authority in heaven and earth. Why would we want to help God or help Jesus write the contract? Isn't it wiser to just enter into covenant with Him? To covenant with God. Covenant, community of believers. People who are believing in Jesus and His life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and promise to return to claim us. Believers in Jesus, we have covenanted together with Him. Believers in God and Christ Jesus are the redeemed. That's what I wanted to sing, that song, Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Hopefully we're not ashamed of it. Redeemed, how are we redeemed? By our good works? No, never think that. We just dig deeper in if we're hoping to get redeemed by our good works. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, who is the Christ, the very Son of God. Church. The church includes people of past, present, and future. The writer of Hebrews talks about that great cloud of witnesses that's looking down. They're witnesses to what we're doing. They're observing. I understand that a question was asked recently in Sunday school about those people who live before Jesus. Could they be saved? Well, they were looking forward to Jesus. The prophets had told these people about Jesus, that God would send a Redeemer. And they were looking forward to this Jesus, this Messiah, who was to come. And they had their faith in the one who was to come. And in our position, being on earth after Jesus, we're looking back to the Christ who did come, the Christ who would save His people. We're looking back to the Christ who did come, but who will come again to claim us for heaven. They were hoping. They were longing. Hope based on the prophet's message. And our hope is based on the message of the apostles. Message that's recorded in God's Word. One statement is made concerning the church that I think needs to be stated. Church includes all who are unable to respond. Some people do not have the mental capacity to respond to Jesus. They're part of God's church. And there may be other reasons that people cannot respond that only God knows. But God makes that pretty plain. The church in the world, we call it the visible church, but there's also the church in the world is referred to the invisible church, those believers who do not belong to an organized fellowship. They're believers, but they have not covenanted with other people. Their covenant is with God. I cannot see why they wouldn't covenant with other people to do the work of the church, but some people have not come to that point yet. Maybe they will next week or next month. Those who respond in faith, that's the visible church, and enter into a formal covenant with God and with other people. And this is what we have done, we who are members of a particular church. We have covenanted with God. We have trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. We have agreed to His plan of salvation. We haven't said, no, Jesus, I'd rather be saved this way. And He said, okay, you can be saved that way. No, it doesn't work that way. We're saved by the grace of God through our faith. Not of ourselves. Even our faith is not of ourselves. We receive the gift of salvation through our faith in Jesus, even the faith that Jesus gives us. And that's how we're saved. Now, we have responded in faith. We enter into a formal covenant with God. And then we are official members of a local church. Galatians chapter 3. If you look at your scripture lesson, back to it. Paul wrote to the believers, church members of the church at Galatia. He says of them, verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus. Not through your heritage, your ancestry. You are sons of God through your faith in Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Then he goes on to say, there's neither Jew nor Greek. He was writing to some Greeks or non-Jewish people who had become Christian. You're neither Jew nor Greek, though that may be your background. But in Christ, there's not that distinction. We keep wanting to use those distinctions, but there is neither Jew nor Greek. You're neither slave nor free. Out in the world, you may be some of you slaves and some of you free men, but that doesn't count in relationship to God as fellowship in the church. You're neither male nor female. And some say, how do we allow women to preach or women to be elders or women to have leadership positions in the church? Well, right there it is. We're neither in Christ, we're neither male nor female. Keep a reading. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, that's Paul writing, then you are Abraham's seed. Not because you are a direct descendant of Abraham, but because you belong to Christ. And heirs, according to the promise that we have a great inheritance, heaven, waiting for us. What about children? Children are included too. Also, I like Matthew chapter 19. The disciples tried to send the children away. Don't come and bother Jesus. Matthew 19, you can read it there. They tried to send the children away. And he says, fellas, don't you do that. Bring those children to me. And Matthew 19 talks about him taking the children in his arms. Now, how big were they? How small were they? Were they infants in arms? Were they 3 or 4 year old? Were they screaming little 2 year olds? The disciples didn't want Jesus to be bothered by them. And Jesus said, permit those children to come unto me. Then he went on to say, for such is the kingdom of God. And then he says, in the step we become as little children, trusting, humble, sometimes they are, except we become as little children, we shall not enter the kingdom of God. The little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. The disciples rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Matthew 19:13-15. And then Acts 2, verse 39. Peter is preaching, day of Pentecost. And he says, the promise. People became convicted of their sin and their need to do something. And they said, what shall we do? And he talked about repent and believe the gospel. And then he says, the promise, verse 39, is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. The promise is not limited to those who are gathered here in Jerusalem this day. For all whom the Lord our God will call. The promise is to all whom the Lord our God will call. The church. The church, we talked about last week in having warts. I think I closed with the wart story of Cromwell wanting his picture painted in the church. He said, said to the painter, he said, you better paint all the warts or you're not going to get a penny from me. Leader of England back in, I think, 1600s, way back there anyway. And they said he wasn't a very handsome man or had a lot of warts, and he even referred to his pimples. But the church is imperfect. Or the church is warty. The church has a lot of imperfections. We're imperfect in our knowledge. We haven't really obtained it all yet. And then the power to do God's will. You know, in our prayer of confession, we confess, if you made that your prayer, we confess that we're not always willing to do God's will. We're always doubtful that we can do it. And we forget that through Christ we can do all things. But the church waits for the full redemption of the family of God. It's not all over yet for the church. And this is not all there is for it, what we experience here. There's something more out there. We don't know when it will come. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. We just need to be ready. But until Jesus returns. Until Jesus calls his children home, God's will is, or what God desires of his people, is that we believers worship him, but also witness for him. God calls us as his people to witness, but first we worship. We come and worship at the feet of Jesus. We come and offer our prayers. We come and confess our sins. We come and claim the forgiveness that we all need. And then we go out to witness. So worship is the number one function of the church. Worship is the number one function of the church. Go back and read about Abraham, about Jacob, building altars and worshiping the Lord. The importance of a temple. But before that, the tabernacle that Moses oversaw the construction thereof, and they carried the tabernacle with them along the way. What is worship? Expressing before God our faith in him, speaking of his worth, speaking of his value to us, speaking of his power, and our dependence upon, bowing down before him, and witness. The Great Commission. Go and tell those who have not yet heard. Go and proclaim the good news of Jesus. And then we add to that the fellowship, and the study, and the helping one another. And the church is involved in each of these. The parable of the weeds. Matthew 13, 24 and following. Story of weeds growing with the wheat. And it's an illustration of the world. The Christians in the world and the non-Christians in the world. And the disciples said, do we go out and get rid of the weeds? He says, no, let them grow together. God will take care of the separation at the harvest. And we are not alone in our worship and our work. The Holy Spirit guides us. Matthew 28:20b. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The church exists not for herself, but to glorify God and to work for reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about this another day, but Christ gives the Word, the Bible, and the sacrament to reveal God's grace and his judgment to his people. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the church. Thank you that you established it. Thank you that you have sustained her through the years. And thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be a part of your church. Keep us faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about the church being for believers, made up of believers. Maybe today you would express your belief in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that be the case, that be your need today, or your desire, or you feel that God is leading you to do that, come forward as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation or hymn of proclamation concerning the church. We've also talked about entering into a formal relationship with the church, the local church. Maybe you who are believers have not united with the church, as we call it, or joined the church, but feel that God is calling you to do that this day. That invitation is extended to you, and if that is what you feel that God is asking you to do, or urging you to do, or inviting you to do, or calling you to do, would you come forward and make that step, or take that step this day as we stand together and sing 277, and we'll do verse 1 and 3. Mm-hmm.
you. Can practice in the gym, can't we? One, two, 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 one, two.